series here at the chapel, and it's called Acts, A-C-T-S, Adoration, and John started with that topic and so on. But anyway, I want to pray with you too as well. Lord, I just come to you. My life, I know that without you answering prayer, I just need you. And today I need you. And each of us needs you. We need you to direct our thoughts, to direct our hearts to you. Because you are the God who's high and lifted up. And we ask, Lord, that you might be high and lifted up in our hearts. And we pray in Jesus' precious, powerful name. And everybody said, amen. 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 So yes, we're in a series, and it's on prayer. And prayer is breathing to God. It's being prepared to talk to the living God. It's the privilege of coming into His presence. Now, John started sharing his story about how he came to faith in Jesus Christ last week as a 5-year-old boy. And we have been blessed with many births in our church, haven't we? And little babies. And yes, there are more to come. And it's our prayer. This is our prayer that each one of these little people will come to faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior and become a child of God. We become child of our parents, but then we want to become a child of God, don't we? And experience a spiritual awakening, a spiritual new birth. I remember having a daughter. And I was teaching in Busby, in the religious program there. And I gave out a name tags for each of my kids. We had one little boy. He seemed to have really a lot of trouble in concentration in the class. And it came to me, he had a special name. His name was Stephen. Stephen means a crown. And he just didn't seem to be focused. And I took a little plaque, wrote his name on it, and the meaning of his name, a crown. And that name, his name, changed that little boy. He suddenly realized that he was of great value. And that little plaque actually did something else. I went into a Christian bookstore, and I have a youngest daughter. Her name was Christy. And Christy, like John, had put her faith and trust in the Lord as about a 5-year-old. And I'm struggling with this. I'm really struggling with this. And I'm thinking, no, she's too young. And I was in the store, and I went and I found her name, Christy. And Christy means the Christian. It's like God hit me over the head with a 2x4. Says, wake up, Dad. Christy, the Christian. How about you? Where do you stand with the Lord Jesus? Do you know for certain that you come to faith in Him? If He should come back suddenly, would you be going home to heaven? When Nicodemus, a religious leader, came to Jesus. In fact, he was the Speaker of the House. He came to Jesus by night because he really didn't want anybody to see him, I don't think. And he said, we know, Jesus, that you have to be somebody in touch with God by the things that you do. And Jesus just cut through it all. And he said immediately to him, I tell you the truth. No one comes to the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Are you born again? Do you know for certain? Jesus didn't waste any time with this man. He knew he had all this theological training, but he didn't have it. He really didn't know. Didn't really have a relationship with the living God. And Jesus was standing right before him. He said, you need to be born again. You need to be saved. Have you had a spiritual birth? And that's the question we need to answer today. Have you had a spiritual awakening? Have you had a spiritual birth? In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, all have sinned. The great interesting thing is there's a great leveler in society. It doesn't matter whether you're Trump in place of President of the United States or somebody on the street. We all come under this one category. All have sinned. We don't qualify. We don't qualify for heaven. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the good news is John 3:16. Just in that same chapter, Jesus is really answering Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you everlasting life? That's the best life insurance you can have, is to know Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the next verse is, and this is the condemnation God came into the world, and this is the condemnation, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So we all qualify because we are all are sinners. But then Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. We earn it. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How many of you received a gift at Christmas time? Yes. Did you pay for it? I don't see any hands. Maybe nobody got gifts this Christmas. Anyway, I think the one thing that really, really hit me about this amazing Christmas was that there were wise men who came from the East. They sat on a camel for at least 900 miles. I had a chance to ride up Mount Sinai on a camel, and let me tell you, I don't recommend riding camels. Every once in a while, our camel driver would hit that old camel on the backside, and he went, oh. And all I could see was darkness and little lights down the mountainside, and I thought, I am going to be down there. But no. They came 900 miles on camels because I believe Daniel the prophet had the Word of God, the Old Testament, and he shared it. And they read in Numbers chapter, and you can check this out, Numbers 24 and verse 15. It talks about a star, a sovereign, a king being born in Israel. And they rode 900 miles to come. And they came to King Herod. King Herod was, he thought, the big king. But they came and said, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Have you seen any of these little babies? They're little children. They came 900 miles to bow down and worship him. We're not supposed to worship men. So they understood, number one, that Jesus would be a human being. And number two is that he was God. And they bowed in his presence. A little child. Almighty God. The Son of God. And in John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And you can turn that around in the Greek. "In the beginning was the Word, and God was the Word." Jesus is the Word of God. And he came. He came in such a humble way, didn't he? So it says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." That's what we all need, right? Jesus forgives. And Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10 says that if you confess, and our word is in our acrostic, it's confess, right? Now, sometimes police officers, they may try to get a confession. But this isn't the kind of confession that God wants to get from us. It says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your head, or with your heart, that you believe and are justified. Justified is a word that means just as if I never sinned. It's more than that abbreviation of the word, but it is, because Jesus took and paid for our sin on the cross. And as with the mouth, you confess and are saved. And the word confession is a very interesting word. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, if we confess with our mouth, the word is homologos. If you go to the store and buy a gallon of milk, it's all the same. It's homogenized, right? This word is homologos. And when we come into God's presence as a sinner, we say it the same. That's what it really means. Say it the same as what God is saying to you. If I tell a lie, my conscience may smite me and say, "You know, you lied." God says, "That's right. Say it as it is." And we come before God in prayer and we say it as it is. We said, "Please forgive me, Lord. I lied." Homologos. Confess. We confess our sin. As we have got into this acrostic for prayer, we also realize that there are other places in the Bible besides in 1 John or in Romans that we confess. We confess our sin to come into fellowship with God. But we also have to confess our sin as we walk as believers. Do believers sin? Yeah. Do we struggle with that? Oh, yeah. And we sometimes wonder, will God really forgive me? And the answer is yes. Prayer actually changes the world. Alfred Lord Tennyson said, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of." And MGM Theater of the Air used to say, the family that prays together stays together. And I believe that's true. The family that prays together stays together. And the secret of prayer is prayer in secret. We are to go into our closet, and this is private prayer. We go into our closet alone, and we pray to the God in secret, and the God who sees in secret blesses us openly. Disciples saw Jesus in his prayer life, and they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Just like John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. And when Jesus chose his disciples, he went up the mountain and he prayed all night. That seems like a long time, doesn't it? And he's the Son of God. Can we pray 10 minutes or 5 minutes? I'm not trying to make you embarrassed, because I'm embarrassed. I don't pray the way I ought to, but I'm thankful that when I pray, God hears and answers prayer. Doesn't he? He certainly does. Remember some stories that happened with us in our family. Also remember that before Jesus fed the 5,000 men, there were 5,000 women, probably, and more children. How many people were there? We have no idea. But when Jesus was given the lunch of a boy of 5 barley loaves and 2 small, probably sardines, small fish, he lifted his eyes to heaven and he prayed, and they began to break the bread, and it fed all of that huge crowd, and there were 12 baskets left over. When those people were released and sent home now with a full stomach, Jesus went up the mountain to pray, and he sent the disciples across the Sea of Galilee in a boat, and a storm came up. And Jesus could see them struggling, and he came walking to them on the waves. Jesus was God. Jesus is God and still is God. So prayer, what is it? Prayer is communion with our Heavenly Father. Prayer is admitting that we're dependent on him. Prayer is not showtime. Prayer is for us to be in secret by ourselves. Prayer can be for direction. Prayer can be for strength. Prayer can be for intervention. Prayer can be for the needed resources that we don't have. Prayer can be for wisdom. Prayer is to the soul what breath is to your body. Without breathing, what happens? We need to pray. It's not if we pray, it's when you pray. Jesus said to his disciples, "When you pray, pray, Our Father, which art in heaven." that also tells us that there's a relationship, right? If we are praying to a Father, there has to be a relationship. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, your holy name. Your kingdom come, not my kingdom come. Your will be done, not my will be done. Prayer is petitioning God's throne. Prayer is accessing spiritual power through the Holy Spirit that He's given to us. We need His power. Prayer is the Holy Spirit putting put in our innermost being that we can't communicate. The Holy Spirit communicates that with our Heavenly Father. So when we think of prayer, we have need for prayer. I want to now go to First John. What we quoted earlier was from the Gospel of John. If you're a Christian, if you know the Lord, then First John speaks to us as a believer. And we come to 1 John. First John chapter 1. If you have your Bible on phone, that's okay. You can read it along. But I'm going to read 1 John chapter 1. And if you received a little printout in your bulletin and have a pencil, you may go through this chapter and fill it in as well. 1 John chapter 1, that which was from the beginning, that declares that Jesus was God. He was always there. Same as in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked at. The Apostle John took a careful look at this man called Jesus. And what did he see? He examined him carefully. He looked at all that Jesus had done. And he came to the conclusion, this is God in the flesh. He healed the sick. He made eyes to see of the blind. He raised Lazarus from the dead. John stood on the Mount of Transfiguration and heard the voice of God saying, this is my beloved Son, as he shone with the glory of God on the mountain. He examined him carefully. And he heard him, he seen him, he examined him, and his hands had touched him. We have proclaimed concerning the word of life. The life appeared. He became visible. God wanted to make himself visible, and he did so through his Son, Jesus Christ. And as we examine Jesus, we see God. We see what God does. We see that Jesus was able to do amazing things. And we proclaim to you that what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship. There's another very, very, very important word in 1 John is fellowship. Fellowship is a word given over and over. And fellowship is koinonia. Koinonia is the Greek word for fellowship. It means sharing things in common. It can be also translated communion. And John amazingly says, we can have fellowship with each other. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. Our fellowship, what makes the men's fellowship is sharing God the Father and God the Son and what is God doing. Fellowship, koinonia, sharing things in common. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus was his name that means Jesus is the name that his name means Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And the next word in Matthew chapter 1 and 23 is his name shall be Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? Doctor, what does your name mean? Yes, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And it is when Jesus is in our midst, it is God. God with us. Do we need him? I only hear one voice. Yes. Yes, we need him. And then in this chapter it says, this is the message that we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. And I didn't have a big enough, strong enough light to bring. But God is light. And God, light always drives out darkness. Doesn't it? You turn on the light, it drives out the darkness in your room. When you turn on the light in a person, it will correct your life. When we get down on our knees and said, Lord, I need help. And he will begin shining the light into our hearts. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. But the word just before that is we have true fellowship. We can have true fellowship in our community. But there's false fellowship. And false fellowship is if I say, and sometimes I'm ashamed because when I say something, my action doesn't, it doesn't balance out. And in verse 6 here it says, if we claim to have fellowship, koinonia, if we claim to have things in common, that's speaking it, and we don't do the truth, we lie. We lie. We're liars. Because we're saying we're having fellowship with God, but we haven't let the light shine in and change our lives. Do we need changing? I do. And we all do. But even as believers, as we grow, as we become and want to be closer to God, we need to walk in the light as Jesus is in the light. And we have fellowship, koinonia, one with another. It somehow it also heals our relationships. It heals them horizontally with our people that we have difficult with. It doesn't always. It has to be more than one. And if we say and we don't do, James has something to say about that. James chapter 1. And again, the word confess is in it, in this passage. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looked in a mirror. Oh, have one. Surprise, surprise. We've talked about that in the communion service. Surprise, surprise. Yeah. Yeah, I look in the mirror and I didn't put any dirt on my face. I hope I washed my face. But if I look in the mirror and after looking at myself, or it says himself, he goes away and he immediately forgets what manner of person he is. If he looks intently, if we look at the mirror, and we see something on our face, we want to change it, right? Yeah, probably the ladies are probably better at that than us. Sorry about that. But anyway, yeah, if we say, and we need to allow the mirror to tell us. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, it gives freedom, continues to do this, not forgetting that what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed. And then it says, if anyone considers himself to be religious and yet does not bridle, does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself. It's another false confession in fellowship. False confession. Yeah. That's fine. Yes. And then in 1 John 1 and 9, it says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We need to keep short accounts with God. If we have something in our life, we need to confess it. And it says he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Homologos, we say it as it is. And then John tells us that when Christ is our Savior, we have an advocate. We have a defending lawyer in the presence of God who paid for our sin. So when we're accused of doing wrong by Satan, he's the accuser of the brethren and the sisters. It's the word is brethren in the Bible anyway. Anyway, Satan accuses us. But Jesus says, oh, but I died. I died for that sin. He's forgiven on the basis that I paid for it. So we have our advocate, Jesus, standing in God's presence so that he stands there and defends us. And then there's another word there. He is our propitiation. That's a great word. It simply means, in the Old Testament, there was a mercy seat. And only once in the year could the high priest come in and sprinkle that mercy seat with blood. And Jesus is our mercy seat. He's our propitiation. He satisfies God's anger against our sin. And so we have an advocate and we have a mercy seat. And we have an end to our message. But don't go out. If you have never made a commitment to Christ, you need to do that. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We don't know we have another day. We really don't know that. Thank you.